All right, look back here in Luke chapter 9. And I've titled my message this evening, The 12 Sent Forth. There's three different places where our Savior talks about sending the disciples forth here. One place it says that He sent them forth two by two. But our Lord is doing something different, something He hadn't done before. He'd been doing all the preaching. He'd been doing all the healing. Now He sends forth the apostles to do what He had been doing. He's going to do His ministry through them as what He will do after He ascends back to glory. And they do exactly what He done. And look what it says here in verse 1. Then He called His 12 disciples together. He called them. He called them. They didn't call themselves. He called them together. And that's the thing. Look back over here in Luke 6 a moment. You know, that's the thing that some people want to enter the ministry and feel like it'd be a good profession. Or their dad was in the ministry and so their granddaddy was, so it's a good thing to do. Go off and get an education, come back and get a church, get a good salary, get your doctor's degree. But our Lord Jesus Christ, He called these men. He called them. And as He called them, the first thing before He called them to be apostles, He called them to salvation. And before He ever calls a preacher to preach, He calls him to his salvation first. He got to be saved first. He got to be filled with the Holy Ghost first. And then so the calling to is first of all, the first part of our calling is to salvation. But look here in Luke 6 and verse 12. And it came pass in those days that He went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, He called unto Him His disciples, and of them He chose 12, whom also He named apostles. And then He gave us the names of them. So these are the 12 that He's going to send out. Now, beloved, Judas is one of these 12. And Judas done what the rest of them did. And that's a great mystery. But yet it shows us this. The one who betrayed Him. This shows us that our Lord Jesus lets the tares grow up together with the wheat. And we don't know the tares until they're separated by the Lord Himself. We won't know who a tare is until the Lord plucks it up. And if then Judas was a tare, he was dross among the gold. And they didn't know. The other disciples didn't know. And beloved, so He called them together. Then look what He done. Back here in Luke 9. And then He gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. You see, if anybody has any power, He has to give it to them. There's no power apart from Him. And He gave them the power. He gave them the authority. He gave them the might, the power, and the right to do what He called them to do. And you see, beloved, all power belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. All power over all devils, all power over all creation, all power over all flesh. He has power over all things. God has given all things into the hand of His Son. And He can give power to those whom He will. And He chose 12, and they wouldn't have any power. And they didn't go preach until He sent them forth. He didn't have any power to cast out devils until He gave them the power to cast out devils. They didn't have any authority to preach until He gave them the authority to preach. Look over in 2 Timothy chapter 1 with me just a minute. This is what I'm trying to say. You know, that's the same thing with becoming a child of God. He says, you know, to as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, which were born, not of the flesh, not of the will of man, nor of blood, but of God. This new birth, this life, everything about anybody has any power, anybody has any authority, it's got to come from the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you got authority from Him, you can go face the devils. If you got authority from Him, you can face these diseases. And look what Paul said here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Now watch it. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, how? By the will of God. He didn't wake up one. He'd been a preacher. He'd been a very super religious man. He attended the synagogues, knew the scriptures, but he didn't know anything about being an apostle. Didn't know anything about salvation. Didn't know anything about preaching until God called him. And he was won by the will of God. And all authority that he had from then on came from the Lord Jesus Christ. And gave him authority over devils, it said. Over all devils. And to cure diseases. And I'm sure thankful. I'm thankful that, you know, we don't have this authority and power today. We don't have it. You see these guys getting on there, you know, commanding devils to come out of them. And Catholic Church has these exorcisms and all that, supposed to be casting demons out of people. You know, our Lord, to establish His church on this earth and to show that these are the signs of the Messiah. These are the signs of the Christ. These miracles being done the way He done it. And to show that He gave authority to men and only to a few men, that's why they done this. And you and I don't have any power over devils now. We don't have any power. I don't even have power over my own flesh most of the time. Do you? I have a hard time with my own flesh. I thought today, oh Lord, my flesh indeed is weak. But He gave these men power over the devils and to cure diseases. You see, He's the one with all the authority. And He has already defeated the devil for us. He has conquered him for us. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. And we overcome the world, even our faith. The faith, victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. He's the one. Remember when Satan came and presented himself in a prayer meeting? And God said, have you ever considered my servant Job? A just and an upright man and fears me? Eschews evil? He said, oh my, if you turn me loose on him. And the devil had to have permission from God. So thy Lord, you know, and the same thing happened over in Acts chapter 19. Paul was casting out devils. And there was a bunch of guys got together, seven Jew brothers of one man, seven sons of one man. They decided after they seen Paul cast out devils, they're going to try to do it. And they go up there and said, they got a hold of this fella and they started laying hands on him like these guys do on television. And all that. Next thing you know, that fellow they're trying to cast the devil out of, he got mad. He whipped all seven of them and stripped their clothes out of them. And they went out there running. They said, Paul, we know. Jesus, we know. But we don't have a clue who you are. When God gives a person the authority, even the devils know him. The devils know him. Old Rolf Barnard used to say, said there ain't very few men known in hell. And Paul was one of them. The devils knew him. And our Lord Jesus Christ and these men. But He's the one with all authority. And then to cure diseases. They had the power to cure diseases. But the greatest disease that's been cured by the Lord Jesus Christ is the disease of sin. By His stripes we are healed. He redeemeth thy life from destruction and healeth all thy diseases. Thank God that all of our diseases, whatever they may be, have already been taken care of. In particular, the one that would have destroyed us forever had not our Lord Jesus taken care of it. And then look what happens. It says here in verse 2, and He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God. And the preaching they did wasn't like those that the scribes and the Pharisees had. You know, the scribes and the Pharisees, when they were preaching the kingdom of God, the first thing they looked at is this hair splitting. This hair splitting. You know, and this is not the kingdom of God they're preaching. You know, they would say, why does your master eat with publicans and sinners? Why does you eat with unwashed hands? Well, when these men came preaching the kingdom of God, they preached that men would be saved not by hair splitting laws, not by straining at gnats and swallowing camels, not by ceremonies, but by God entering into the heart and soul of a man and establishing His authority there. That's the kingdom of God they preach. God's going to come here and God establishes His. That's why our Lord says the kingdom of God's come into your presence today. He said, if I by the finger of God cast out the devils, then the kingdom of God, the power and authority of God's right here right now. And when they preach the kingdom of God, God's going to set up His kingdom and establish His authority. And all the kingdom of God, it means this, the king, God's kingship, God's rule, God's sovereignty. And you know where it's recognized? It's recognized in the heart of all of God's people. All of them. We pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Oh, we want his kingdom. And the kingdom of God, when they preached it, they preached that it's a complete salvation. Wherever the kingdom of God comes and set up its rule, set up its sovereignty, where it's acknowledged in the heart of a man, it's a complete salvation. And in this salvation, where the kingdom of God's established, all the spiritual blessings for God's people is in that kingdom and in its king. And all the material blessings for our soul and our body is that God Almighty lives in us and we recognize His authority. We obey Him. You know, that's why Paul, he says, you know, God who hath delivered us from the power of darkness translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. There's a complete salvation in this kingdom. It meets all of our spiritual needs, the needs of the soul. And as our King and our Sovereign, He meets all the needs of this body, what we need in this world. And maybe have us do it without? Not even close, are we? Huh? And then the kingdom of God is in the church also. Where he talks about the church. This is where God's kingdom set up. Here we recognize Him as King. Our Lord Jesus said, told Simon Peter, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell ain't going to prevail against it. What is he talking about? The church. The kingdom of God in the church. We're not looking for a coming king. We're not looking for a king. Are you looking for a coming king? Christ has got his rule and authority here right now. Who do we answer to? We answer to Christ. Where do we get the authority to be gathered here tonight? We get it from the Lord Jesus Christ. Some denomination, we don't belong to it. We don't have somebody we have to answer to somewhere else. We don't have anybody that gives us what we're supposed to preach in an order in what we're supposed to preach. We don't have a prayer book that we go through. So where do we get our authority? Where do we recognize this authority? Where do we have this power to preach and gather together as we do here tonight? And it calls you to sit here and listen to what's being said. The kingdom of Christ. The kingdom of God. And if it's in you, it's in here. It's among us all. That's why Paul says, you know, I went everywhere preaching the kingdom of God, and those among whom I preached it to, you're going to be sorry because you're never going to see my face again. He said he went preaching the kingdom of God. And then the kingdom of God's this. It also means this. The new heaven and new earth with all the glory of it. Huh? Look over here at Matthew 25. Look at Matthew 25 just a minute. Oh my, we're going to where there's a kingdom, beloved. That new heaven and that new earth where nothing but the subjects of the king shall dwell in it. It's called the kingdom of heaven because it comes from heaven. Our Lord will put the sheep on the right and the goats on the left, and then look what he says in verse 34, Matthew 25. Then shall the king say, unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. you know, we've had the kingdom, it's already established before you and I ever got here. And it's here now, and yet it's yet also future. Oh my, it's called the kingdom of heaven because it comes from heaven. Called the kingdom of heaven because it'll take us to heaven. And it's a heavenly kingdom. We sang that old song, Heaven Came Down and Glory Filled My Soul. Well, that's what we're talking about. And then look what he says here in verse 3, back in Luke 9. He says, take nothing for your journey. Take nothing for your journey. You're going to go out to preach. You're going to go out to preach the kingdom of God, cast out devils, cure diseases, preach the kingdom of God. Heal sick people. He said, I don't want you to take anything. Don't want you to take a thing in the world with you but what clothes you got on your back. What shoes you got on your feet. And why would our Lord do this to these men? Well, first of all, those who preach the gospel should live with the gospel. That's what he's telling. But the greatest reason I believe that he's doing them this way is to teach them, you trust me. I'll see that your needs are met. I'll see that you're taken care of. I've been preaching now all this time, and if I wanted for anything, and that's what he's telling them here. He said, don't take a stave with you. And that word stave means a staff. A stick, a walking stick, a staff that you walk with, like a shepherd's staff. And our Lord Jesus, what he's saying is, I'll be your staff. You need someone to lean on me. Thy rod and thy staff, they shall comfort me. And then take no scrip. This word scrip means a leather bag. You know, it'd be like a purse or some people put around their waist to carry their stuff in. You know, these little packs that people carry. This is what this is. This is a leather pack that they would carry with them to put things in, put their provisions in. And our Lord Jesus said, don't you take no scrip. Don't you take no leather bag with you. You don't need no provisions. I'm the Lord and I shall provide. I am Jehovah and I shall provide. I'll be your provision. And then he said, don't take any bread with you. Don't take any bread with you. I'll have people somewhere with bread. If I can feed Elijah, send out in the wilderness, bread by ravens, and give him water out of a brook, don't you think I'll feed you? You remember in one place he asked me, he says, did you lack for anything when I sent you out? He said, nothing. No, we didn't. And oh my, don't take no bread. I'll see that you're fed. I'm the bread which came down from heaven. And money, he said, don't take any money with you. Don't take any money with you. He's going to teach these fellas right off the bat, don't you covet filthy lucre. Don't you go and provide for yourself. I'll be your wealth. And he says, you have this treasure in earthen vessels. You don't need any money. You don't need any money. And I'll see that you're well taken care of. And I tell you, and beloved, what our Lord's telling these men, don't take two coats with you. Don't take two coats with you. You know, don't take two change of clothes. Just don't take two. Preachers aren't to be. What he's telling them is, you preachers, you're going to be my servants. You're not to be taken up with the things of this world. You're not to be taken up with material things, with wealth and ease and lovers of pleasure. When you go, preach the gospel. Don't let money, don't let clothes. And that's why Paul said, you're my witnesses. I didn't cover you silver. I didn't cover you gold. I didn't cover any of your raiment. I didn't cover anything you had. And that's what he's teaching these men here. When you go to preach the gospel, and you go out to be a witness for Christ, you have one purpose that I sent you to do, and that's to preach the gospel. I'll see that you'll have clothes on your back, an automobile to drive, and food in your belly. I'll take care of you. And he does. He's done that for men as long as there's been people. I heard just the other day a man, he'd been preaching, and the Lord's called him to pastor. And he's busy. Last time I was with him, he said, it's such a great burden just having to deal with this business. Have to deal with this business, and it really hinders me. And in fact, that next Wednesday, he's having another preacher preach for him because he had so much work to do. Well, a dear preacher got him off to himself. He says, you're going to have to let that go. If you're going to pastor this church, if you're going to pastor these people, that's got to go. And he didn't have to pray about it. He knew it was coming. And he had to turn it all over to somebody else. And he said, you wouldn't believe the weight you left off. Oh my. I've heard a lot of men. You listen to me. We're going to just talk a minute. I know a lot of preachers that makes lots of money out working. Or did. And I've seen men tell them, says, you know, either you got to get in the ministry or get in the world. You can't do both. If you're going to go out here and make a pile of money, and then the church is going to suffer and the gospel is going to suffer. So, you know, if you're going to preach the gospel, preach the gospel. If you ain't, forget it. And so I've seen some fellas get pretty mad about that. And needless to say, there ain't one out of 100 that'll pay attention to something like that. Not one out of 100. Huh? But that's what he's teaching here. You trust me. You've got a treasure. It is my treasure. You're my servants. I'm responsible for you. And I'll see that you're taken care of. And he has never, ever failed yet. And then look what he says in verse 4. This goes right on, continueth what he's saying here. Said that. And whatever house you enter into, there abide to you the part. You have, this is where you're going to get fed. This is where you're going to stay. And when you go into somebody, invite you into their house. And you go into their house. You stay right there. You abide there. You preach. When you go out to preach, you come back to that house. You know, you let these people be they'll provide you with hospitality. And they'll be a blessing to you, and you'll be a blessing to them. And he said, and when you get ready to leave that town, then you leave from that house. And why is he telling us this? Now there's things, you know, there may be things you dislike where you're going to stay. But your likes and dislikes don't mean anything compared with the spread of the gospel and the preaching of the gospel. They may not make the coffee as strong as you like it. The bed may be as soft as you think it ought to be. But that don't have anything to do with the preaching of God. I asked a preacher to come preach for me in a couple of weeks. And I said, where you want to stay at? He said, any place you put me will be fine with me. And every one of them says that. Any place you put me will be fine with me. Why is that? Because they learned. God's taught them that. God's taught them that. And why he says here, you know, stay in one place. Because if you go from house to house, that's not good. You know why? It'll end up just gendering strife. Well, wonder why he didn't stay with me longer than he did. Well, why do you have them folks over there treat you? Did they cook what you want to eat? And they say, you know, why did you leave over there? And next thing you know, you've got people questioning. Well, why didn't he stay with me? Why didn't he stay? And that's why he says, so you stay one place. In one place, he said, wherever the peace of God's at, you stay there and let your peace be there. Huh? And then what can they taught them this also? In verse 5. That everybody ain't going to believe what you have to say. You're not going to be received by everybody. Everybody ain't going to invite you in their house. And whosoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust of them from your feet for a testimony against them. You know, when the Jews, whenever they'd be coming from a certain area or something, they was coming back into Israel, the thing that they'd do when they got to the border, they would shake the dust off themselves, off their feet, off their bodies, because they was afraid that if they went into Israel with the dust from someplace besides Israel, that they would be unclean themselves, and if they got around other things, it'd make them unclean, make their things unclean. And what our Savior is saying is, if you reject the gospel, if somebody there rejects the gospel, that place rejects the gospel, what you do is you consider them unclean and you treat them as they're unclean. They don't want the gospel. Treat them like they are. They don't want to hear the gospel. Treat them like they are. When you leave there, you shake the dust off of you as a testimony. What's it? Against them. Huh? Look what happened over in Acts 13. Look here in Acts 13 with me just a minute. In Acts 13. In verse 50. Oh my, this is, you know, you don't want the gospel. Well, we'll shake the dust off. I remember there's an old man that lived up the road from us, and he didn't die until he was almost 100 years old. He'd been a The Baptist preacher for years and years. And some Jehovah's Witnesses came by to talk to him one day, and he's sitting out in the front yard. And they talked, and he told them, said, now I want you to get out of here with that stuff. And they argued around. He said, I want you to get out of here. Well, they wasn't going to go. And he reached and got a stick. He said, I said you're going to go. And if you start to shake the dust off, I'm going to hit you with a stick. He said, don't you shake that dust off. he's dead gone now. That was hilarious when he told me that. But that's, you know, that's That's what some people do. But this is what really happens over real religion. But the Jew, here in verse 50, Acts 13, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. Now watch this. That they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. You don't want it? Give you the foot. Give you the foot. Testify against you. And all mine. Look over here in Matthew 10 right quick. Let me show you this. And I'll move on to something else. But look here in Matthew 10, verse 14. And our Lord's speaking now. And this is the same place where He sent the 12 out. Sent the 12 disciples out. And He said, whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. That's bad, isn't it? That's a testimony against them. All right, back over in our text. You reject the gospel. You reject the good news. What else is there but judgment? What else is there but judgment? And then in verse 6 it says, and they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. The kingdom of God and the gospel is one and the same. One and the same. Preach the gospel. Preach the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ and His glorious power. And then look at Herod's perplexity here. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him. All that was done by the Lord Jesus Christ. And how He used these men. And how He was perplexed. Because some came to Him and said that John was risen from the dead. Nobody, this has to be John. But you see, John never performed a miracle. John never performed a miracle. That's not the first miracle. And then secondly, they say, well, some say it's Elijah. You know, Elijah went off in that chariot of fire. Went off to glory. They said, Elijah's come back. Elijah's here. And he's the one that's supposed to come before the Master comes, before the Lord comes. Elijah's here. He's the one performing all these miracles. And others said that one of the old prophets was risen again. They've raised up Samuel or Isaiah or Jeremiah or Ezekiel. One of these, Daniel, one of them has been raised up. And they're performing these miracles. But Herod said, John, I beheaded him. So I really don't believe John's risen again from the dead. I remember killing him. But who is this of whom I hear such things? Who is this man? What kind of power? What is the authority? What is it? And he said, of whom I hear such things, and he desired to see him. Well, Herod did. Herod did in closing. Look in Luke 23. Look what he did when he did see him. How do you think he treated him when he saw him? He got to see the Master. You know, our Lord Jesus called him a fox. But look what he says here. You know, he desired to see him. Well, he got to see him. And how do you think he treated him when he got to see? Well, here they brought the Lord Jesus before Pilate, and Pilate heard in verse 6. When Pilate heard of Galilee, heard that Christ was from Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, watch this now, he was exceeding glad. Exceeding glad. For he was desirous to see him of a long time now, for a long season. Because he had heard many things of him. He said, who is this that I hear such things of? And he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Wanted him to treat him like he was a magician. Wanted to treat him like somebody, like a trained monkey. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. Let me see you do this. Let me see you do that. Then he questioned him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. Now watch this. And Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught. You know what it is to set something at naught? It's useless. It's no good. That's a zero. Set him out aside as nothing. Nobody. Set him at naught and mocked him. and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him back to Pilate. You can see him taking it back over there, Pilate, that gorgeous robe on. And the same day, Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity among themselves. And that's the way our master's treated by the... You know what? Our Lord said it this way. It pleased God that the world, by its wisdom, should not know God. It pleased God by His wisdom that the world in their wisdom would never know Him. Now the world in its wisdom, when they saw Him, this man, I'm going to see him do something. If he has any power and authority, he wanted to do something. We'll put a robe on him. We'll make it. He ain't nobody. And to the world, he's nobody. But to us who believe, he is precious. Lord Jesus, oh, blessed be your name. Men treated you so awful. And oh Lord, help us never to be ashamed of you. Help us that we'd never treat you with nothing but love and worship and adoration, and acknowledge your rule, your authority, your power, and to bow down ourselves before you, kiss your feet, lay at your feet, embrace your holy heart, and Lord Jesus, you embrace us. Oh, Father, help us to always preach the gospel. Where we go to stay, not never gin to strife. Thank you for the privilege of meeting here with the people of God. Meet the needs of these dear saints as they go home, go to their jobs, and as they travel. We pray, dear Lord, that you would meet every need of every home, every family, every child. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.